Well, if you have a Bible with you, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we're just looking at one verse today, that's verse 15. But, you know, this is His People Church, so we're not just looking at one verse. That's our text. We're going to be having we've counted 18 other scriptures today as well. But Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 is our main text for today as we continue our Christmas season. And the title is, What Child Is This? Now, I'm sure you've heard this phrase, or maybe someone said this to you before, and that is, you're just like your mother, or you're just like your father. Now, whether you take that as a compliment or offense to that depends on what your mom or dad is or was like. Amen? And so, hopefully it's a compliment. And today we're going to see Moses saying, just like me. And so we got to ask the question, what is Moses like? What was he like? So Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, let's have a look at what it says. To him you shall listen. Thank you, Miles. So a prophet just like me. To be just like means the same characteristics, the same qualities, to be similar to this person. So if Moses was a prophet and God is going to raise up a prophet just like Moses, you've got to ask, who is Moses? What was Moses like? How did Moses serve God? So let's have a look in the scriptures and see that. The book of Genesis ends, and it ends with 38 chapters of the book of Genesis focused on only three particular individuals, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 38 chapters. And by the time we get to the end of Genesis, there is Israel, not as a nation, but as a family of 70. But as we move from Genesis into the book of Exodus, we see time goes on by 4 centuries, 400 years. And in that time, this family has grown to over 1 million people, a great nation. But they've become slaves. They've been enslaved in Egypt. And so let's have a look. As Pharaoh says, there are too many Israelites, too many of them. What shall we do? So Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15 to 16.
The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shifra and Pua, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live.
So what's happening here? Pharaoh is beginning a Jewish Holocaust, a genocide. If a generation of boys is killed, what will happen? There will be no more Israel. Because if those women ever do have husbands, they will not be Israelites. So the whole plan is to eradicate the world of God's people. That's been Satan's plan from the beginning. And all throughout the Bible, that's what you see. Since Cain killed Abel, Satan, through other people, has sought to kill God's people, to destroy them. All right, Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4.
Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance.
And so, hopefully we know the story by now. He's placed in this basket. The Hebrew word for basket is the same word for the ark as we see Noah's ark. Interesting coincidence, is it not? What is God doing? God is saving His people. That's God's plan. Satan comes in, and Satan will never thwart God's plan. Jesus says, I will build my church, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, and fight will Satan tries, but he never will because God's sovereign plan will prevail. And so we know that story. He's placed in that basket, and Pharaoh's daughter and her assistants find him. And he's raised up in the courts of Pharaoh, in the palace courts. And for 40 years, that's where he lives. But now this royal man, Moses, condescends down. And he goes down to where the labor yard is, and he meets with his people. And what happens? Exodus chapter 2, verse 11.
One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
So here we see Moses coming down to his own, and his own rejected him. He tries to help them. He tries to defend them. He tries to fight for them, but instead, he's rejected by them. How was this made known? Moses looked left and right. The only people that knew about it were the Israelites themselves. They themselves are the ones who were not grateful, but sold him out. I wonder if there was 30 pieces of silver involved, like Judas Iscariot. Maybe not. But he flees. For 40 years now, he enters the wilderness of Midian, and he's a shepherd for 40 years. And while he's shepherding in the desert, he sees a burning bush. Let's have a look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 9.
"The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. This will be the sign to you, that is, I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain."
So it wasn't easy. Pharaoh put up a great fight, a great resistance, obviously by the power of Satan. But he could not thwart the plan of God. Plague after plague after plague, and then the final plague, the 10th plague. Those amazing miracles. What was the 10th plague? The angel of death coming over. And how did you survive that? Blood of the lamb on your doorposts. And so from the blood of the lamb, they escaped from Egypt. And they went across the Red Sea as Moses led them and held up his staff and opened his hands. And they got to Mount Sinai and they received the law. The plan was to go straight into the promised land. But if you know the story, as we do, they rather spent 40 years in the wilderness wandering, and the whole generation died out. And even Moses himself struck that rock, he said that he himself didn't enter the promised land. But if you look at the history of the Old Testament and you speak to the Jews today, Moses was the great hero, for he was the great redeemer, the savior of the people of Israel, the savior of God's people. So at the end of his life, what did this great redeemer say? In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7.
Moses was 120 years old. "I am not weak, nor is strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land? For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel."
No prophet was like Moses. No prophet was mighty like him in deed and in miracles. No prophet was close to God, as close to God, face to face, as Moses was. There was no one like Moses. He was a special child, saved in that ark. Then he was a special man, saving and redeeming God's people. A savior, a redeemer. One of Moses' final speeches is our verse for today. Just before he dies, he gives a messianic prophecy in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. Let's read that verse again.
"The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen."
So, What are the characteristics about this Moses? What are the qualities that we see? He shall be raised up. Interesting. He will be from among the Israelites. He will be like Moses. And you must listen to what he says. Listen, hear, obey. 1,400 years after Moses says this. 400 years of silence. Not a prophet had spoken for 400 years, the silent years. All of a sudden, on the banks of the Jordan River, there's a scruffy man with camel's hair and a belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey. And people come to him and say, "Who are you and why are you baptizing?" Who's this man? John the Baptist. "Who are you and why are you baptizing?" John chapter 1, verse 21. What does he say? Notice that. Are you the prophet? They were looking for the prophet. 1,400 years after Moses said this, they're saying, "Are you the prophet we've been waiting for 14 centuries? Are you that prophet?" And he says, "No, no. Who are you then?" Chapter 1, verse 23. You notice John's words? John says, "I am not the prophet that Moses prophesied about." But he says, "But among you is the one." What did Moses say? God will raise up a prophet from among you. And now John says, he is among you. And John points him out the very next day in John chapter 1, verse 29.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'"
So, what does John call Jesus? The Lamb of God. The Jews knew nothing about a lamb to sacrifice before the Passover. Before Moses said, "Take this lamb, the blood of the lamb, and sprinkle it on your doorposts," for 400 years they shed no lamb or blood. And here they were told to shed the blood of a lamb. And then they go through, get to Mount Sinai, and then they are told about this blood of the lamb and how they are to offer this Passover sacrifice year after year after year, and many other sacrifices as well. And now John says, "Here, behold, he's the true Lamb of God." But John says, "I didn't know he was the Messiah." You know, when John tried to baptize him, and then Jesus wanted to be baptized, and John tried to deter him and said, "No, you should baptize me." Very often we're told, "Oh, because he knew he was the Messiah." But here John tells us, no, he didn't know he was the Messiah. He knew he was good. He knew he doesn't need to repent, because what is he repenting of? But he didn't know he was the Messiah until he said, "I saw heaven open and the Spirit descend. And then I heard the voice from heaven say, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased.'" Where else did God speak from heaven and say those same words? On the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. And there he said, "This is my beloved Son." And then he said, "Listen to him." What did Moses say? "God will raise up a prophet from among you just like me. And you must listen to him." Fulfillment, 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 fulfillment. Jesus is this Lamb of God. Jesus is this prophet like Moses. Listen to him. Listen to him. What did Jesus say about listening to him? He said, he who hears my voice, my words, and puts them into practice is like what? A man who builds his house on the rock. But the man who hears the words and does not put them into practice, who does not listen to my voice, is the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And when the judgment comes, they will be destroyed. This is what the listening is all about. Judgment is coming. Will you listen to the warning? Would you heed his words? For only in him can you build your house on the solid foundation, on the rock. Speaking of this rock, the apostle Peter, when Jesus said, you will build my church upon this rock of your confession, the apostle Peter, in his sermon in the temple, right after the day of Pentecost, affirms that Jesus is this prophet, just like Moses. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 7, this prophet, like Moses, Jesus Christ, said these words, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will see the kingdom of God, but only he and she who does the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that you listen to Jesus, that you believe in Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 28.
Then he said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
Do you believe? Do you truly believe in the Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember what it means to believe? What does it mean to believe? Don't get me to make that wheelbarrow illustration again. What does it mean to believe? It means to get into Jesus' wheelbarrow and to trust him with your entire life. To hear everything he says and listen to every single word. I trust, Lord. I believe. Do you believe? Do you truly believe? In that very same chapter, John chapter 6, verse 66, we see that the vast majority of those who called themselves disciples walked away. And the sad reality, Jesus even teaching in his parables, that the vast majority of those who say they come to Christ, who begin as a seed, spring up, but they fall away. The way is narrow, and the gate is small, and few find it. Are you among the few? I hope so. Do you believe, and do you trust, and will you continue to do so? Even Stephen, the very first martyr, addressing that Sanhedrin before they killed him, spoke about this prophet that was coming and now has come, and they rejected him. He spoke of Moses' prophecy in Acts chapter 7 and verse 37.
This is the Moses who told the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people.
This is the Jesus whom you crucified, Stephen said. They rejected Stephen because they rejected the Christ, the one who was like Moses. Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses' prophecy. He is the prophet like Moses. And God will raise him up from the dead, that we can have eternal life. But we must listen to him. So how are they the same? How is Christ and Moses the same? Well, even in their childhood, in their infancy, they had to ask, what child is this? In Moses' birth, what child was this that he was so highly favored? Pharaoh wanted to kill every single boy, yet he was spared. Jesus Christ, King Herod, wanted to kill every little boy in Bethlehem. Moses had the world's best education as he was trained up in the courts of Pharaoh. And in Luke chapter 2, we see that Jesus Christ was filled with all wisdom. And at only 12 years old, he goes into the temple and he confounded the minds of the adults that were there. They were amazed by his questions and his answers. What child is this? They would say. And now we ask, what man is this as they grew up? This man who grew up, Moses, at 40 years of age, in this high place in the palace, but he condescends down to go to where his people are. And he gets rejected. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, held on to, but he made himself nothing and humbled himself to become a servant and then to be rejected on a cruel cross. John chapter 1 and verse 11, what does it say? Even in his own hometown of Nazareth, he couldn't even do many miracles because they rejected him. Even his own brothers said he was out of his mind. Moses became a shepherd in Midian for 40 years. Jesus in John chapter 10 said, I am the great shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Moses, through God's leading, set his people free. As those plague upon plague came, and the 10 plague came, and then the blood of the lamb was put on the doorpost, and they were set free. Jesus Christ came and shed his own blood for our atonement. Moses held up his arms with a stick in his hand, and the Red Sea opened up, and the people of God could pass through, and then it closed up again on the enemies of God, the Egyptians. Jesus Christ held up his arms on that wooden stick on the cross. And we were moved from death to life. And God's enemies were defeated on the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15.
And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
And as God's people were brought from death to life, from slavery to freedom, we too are brought from death to life, from slavery to freedom in Christ. And the people went up to Mount Sinai. Got to Mount Sinai, and Moses went up on the mountain, received the law and the commandments, and said, this is God's law, this is God's character, this is God's heart. Jesus Christ went up onto the Sermon on the Mount and said, oh, you've heard it been said by your teachers, but oh no, let me tell you, this is what God is like in the Sermon on the Mount. And then even when those people were sinning at the bottom of the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and making that golden calf, Moses interceded for God's people. He said, no, Lord, do not kill them. Have mercy. And on that cruel cross, as they were killing Jesus, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But not only did he intercede for them there, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus Christ has become our great high priest and he intercedes for us forever. In Egypt, miracle after miracle after miracle by Moses, with those plagues after plagues, through the wilderness, miracle after miracle with the manna from heaven and water from a rock. Jesus Christ came and he healed. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. And in John chapter 4, to the Samaritan woman, he said, ask me for living water and you will never thirst again. John chapter 4 and verse 10.
Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked them,
Moses faced God face to face as a man would talk to his friend. And Christ spoke to his Father face to face. Moses instructed the people to build the tabernacle and the ark so that God would dwell with his people. And John chapter 1 says, the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. So what child is this? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God with us, who was placed in a manger. What's a manger? It's an animal feeding trough. You know what it is? It's a wooden box for animals. It's an ark. Once again, here, this child is placed in an ark. God's Savior, God's Redeemer. A picture of how God saves. And when he grows up, he's nailed to a wooden cross and sheds his blood. Have you listened to him? Are you like the wise or the foolish builder? What child is this who grew up to be? What man is this like Moses? But greater than Moses. But greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and tie his sandal straps. But folks, he's greater than Jonah, the Bible says. Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, as Christ was in the belly of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. Greater than Solomon, the wisest man on all the earth, is this Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 41.
The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it,
rise at the judgment that this generation condemned. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here.
Will you listen to this great man? Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. John the Baptist was called the greatest man by Jesus who ever lived. But one who is greater than all of these has come. Nineveh, the people of Nineveh repented. Dreadful, horrible, hateful Nineveh repented. And they will judge, their testimony will judge us when we stand before Christ and have not accepted him, for they repented. What child is this? What man is this? He's the prophet like Moses. But oh, he is far, far, far greater than Moses. Hebrews chapter 3.
But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. Just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, "Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness."
So what child is this? Not just like Moses, but greater than Moses. What man is this? Greater than Moses, John the Baptist, Jonah, Solomon. He is Christ the King. Will you receive him? Will you believe in him? Will you trust in him? Christ the King. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we will surrender our lives to Christ the King. To what child is this? What man is this? The Savior, the Lord. But he's only our Savior and our Lord if we surrender and obey and listen to him. Holy Spirit of God, help each one of us here, to truly listen to the words of Christ and build our house upon the rock. Lord, help us, we pray, for it is only by your grace that we can be saved. So we look to you. We trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's sing. What child is this? You guessed that song, didn't you?
Bring him in.
5-minute break.